Chapter 8. Or technically, stormtrooper armor. Empty stormtrooper armor, standing upright and at attention in front of a long wall of golden hexagonal cells reaching from floor to ceiling. What is this? The old man stood in front of one of the shiny white suits and saluted.
Ah, here he is. Jor Tribulus, my old captain in the service. Good man. Quieter than most.
You already said that.
Did I?
She shoved Night Drifter aside and grabbed the nearest stormtrooper's arm to make sure the suit was empty. It rattled. Fury boiled in her veins. Everything about this job had gone wrong. She wouldn't accept a mission from a self-destructing droid ever again. With one violent yank, the whole suit clattered and fell from the metal IV pole that had been holding it up.
No!
Night Drifter cried, crawling to catch it.
Show some respect!
Empty armor. Useless. Where's Tribulus, really? With a shaking hand, the old man pointed to the hexagonal cell directly before her. There were three rows, one on the floor, one at chest height, and one along the ceiling. Looking closely at the middle one, she saw TK-1472, Jor Tribulus, carefully incised in the wax, and horror snicked up her spine, quickly followed by hope. He's in there? Night Drifter nodded. His body? Another nod. With his belongings? Night Drifter's eyes slid sideways.
Some of them. Most.
Before he could stand and stop her, she sliced her blade in a smooth circle and levered the sheet of finger-thick wax out of the hole she'd created. It fell and broke in two with a heavy thump. The scent of death and rot came with it, and she immediately pulled on her goggles and stuck her head into the darkness. The cell was as long as two men, and what was left of TK-1472 was laid out with his arms crossed over his chest at the very back. A promising mound of belongings sat at his feet.
It's bad luck to disturb the dead,
Night Drifter said, but she ignored him. Crawling farther back, she saw a steel case peeking out from beneath the rotting hand. As she pulled curled fingers of bone away to inspect it, the old man outside started talking.
They tried to fight the Dax at first, but when you kill one, it does something to the hive. Murderous things can communicate rage, tell one another who to aim for. Once they're focused, nothing else can get their attention. The doctors and workers left. They could, couldn't they? No mech, no chairs, no prosthetics, no jackets, no locked rooms. They left us here. Even the women. We moved down into the basement and kept the doors locked. But there's no food down there. No water. Can't live if you can't get outside the building, can you? So we took turns fetching supplies, never knowing if we'd make it back a hero, get stung to death and walled up in a cell with a grub, or get caught outside by the New Republic. Damn them. If this is freedom, freedom isn't worth much.
She looked up as he leaned into the cell, his face frantic.
They knew we were dangerous, see? Knew we'd seen things. That's why they sent us all the way out here, to the edge of nothing. Far away. Locked up. Not for our good. For theirs.
I don't blame them. As she traced fingers over the silver metal, her black lips finally gave a real, true, wide smile. This was it. The case. After all that had gone wrong, she had the loot. She touched the device behind her ear and cleared her throat to speak.
This is Bazine Nital.
There was a loud thump. The old man cried out and someone newer and bigger blocked the light. She deactivated the comm, smile gone and blaster ready, and looked up. Directly into the face of the last person she'd thought to see.